Hello and welcome to Danny Golden's podcast. This is part two of our wonderful numerology series with the lovely healing numbers 22, Sue Coffin. So today we are going to dive deeper into how numbers in your personal chart, specifically, we talked about in part one, your core numbers in your numerology chart, your life path, expression, heart's desire, also known as soul urge. But today we're going to do what we sevens like to do and dive a little deeper and talk about the cycles, the pentacles, challenges, transits, essences. And we're going to explore how the numbers in our chart impact us and provide us with helpful tools and insights. So we are very happy and feel very fortunate to have Healing Numbers 22 back with us so that we can get into it. And let's start with part one, where we're going to talk about cycles. So tell us, what are the cycles? And yeah, we're going to use my chart as an example because it's always
I have your chart and I have my chart. I have both.
Perfect.
Of them,
so wonderful.
Everything works in a cycle, right? I mean, that's nature. That's how we run. And in numerology, it's all about 1 through 9. So it's very important that we put everything in context with that. And it's no different than astrology. I mean, the planets are constantly moving. Well, so is the energy of the numbers, but we can calculate it to find out what it wants.
I love that. And then do we want to get into your cycles or my cycles to provide context into that? Or do we just want to kind of summarize the cycles and then pentacles and challenges and what each of those mean?
Oh, I think it'd be best if we kind of gave a description of what a pentacle, what a challenge is, how do I get it? And then I will explain yours and I will explain mine just to give a little brief. And it's very brief, you know, this, as you know, these readings can go on and on.
I know. No, that's wonderful. And I always like to defer to you because you are the expert. Okay. So tell us about pentacles. What are pentacles?
All right. So we have our life path, right? It's made up of month, day, and year of birth. Can never be changed, those numbers. It's very solid energy. When I calculate for a pentacle, we have 4 pentacles in our life and 4 challenges. First one and the last one being the longest, the middle two being 9 years each. A lot of work being done during those times.
Okay.
And I'm using month, day, and year of birth to calculate these. So we always have to keep track of what the life path is doing. The pentacle is kind of switching that up a little bit. I always say the life path's like a bowl of vanilla ice cream. We know what it looks like, smells like, tastes like, but the pentacles is the strawberry sauce or the chocolate sauce. It just switches the taste up a little bit. It gives us a different experience because we can't go through life doing the same thing over and over.
No, we cannot. No.
And you know, a lot of times a pentacle can switch drastically. And, you know, you see people do, I knew somebody who was very stable and then one day picked up and left. When I looked at the pentacle, he had switched. He was gone. So it's very cool. It's very cool. So
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. And the challenges aren't something you wake up every day and go, oh, my Lord, I got that challenge today. They're roadblocks. And the more we can face those roadblocks and jump over them, the greater that energy becomes to us. So it's really important to know the challenge, right?
Right.
And you face it and say, okay, bring it on, right?
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
And then after that, we have the transits.
All right, transits and essences. Transits come from your letters in your name.
Okay.
This is a very hard part of the chart to set up. This is where I use software because it's so easy to make an error. For instance, Danny, the letter D goes for 4 years. A goes for 1 year. N goes for 5 years. And I goes for 9 years. So the 18 years for you to complete your first name.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So, and that's first, middle, and last name. Okay. The transits help me to understand how you're dealing with personal year energy. How are you dealing within that year? What are you doing? What's motivating you? First name, physical. Middle name, mental. Third, last name, spiritual.
Okay. Very cool.
It is.
All right. Should we unpack that for the listeners and the viewers?
Oh, shoot. All right. So let's just look at Danny's.
Okay.
From birth until the age of 28, Danny's pentacle was a 9, and she challenged herself with a 5.
Okay.
So the nine energy, especially in the first pentacle, a lot of times when I see this, I think you were probably the child that brought all the stray animals home. You gave your sandwich to the kids on the playground that didn't have anything, because the 9 is humanitarian. It has a very big heart. Challenging yourself with that 5, it can go either way. You because 5 is all about freedom and movement. Mm-hmm. So it's either you wanted a lot of freedom or you were being held back. That makes sense?
Yeah. I mean, there were times where I did have a lot of freedom, but I also felt held back. You know, no one really takes you seriously when you're younger. And if you feel like you came into this world, like the story I shared with Sue offline was, I went to a sports camp when I was young and I was like 7, and the coaches were like, get in the lane that you belong in. And I went to one of the faster lanes and they kept moving me to the slowest lane. And I remember, and then when they weren't looking, I went back to the fast lane and they moved me back to the slow lane. And I did it a couple more times. And finally they were like, no, you belong here. And I remember I was like 7 looking at them and being like, oh, I got to show them. They're not going to believe me.
Yeah.
So that's not full freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that was a roadblock. And
that was a roadblock.
You were doing the best you could to jump over it. So that's perfect.
I was trying to hurdle that thing.
Now, during this time, this is where numerology really can show its face, is we have what we call soul changing years. That doesn't mean it's bad. It means a burst of growth, a memory. Mm-hmm. It could be graduating from school, could be getting married, having a child, you know, just a growth. So you had a soul changing year. Well, it wasn't in 1986 at the age of 7. This had something to do with family, a relationship. Mm-hmm. It could have been you lost a grandparent, or an animal even can show itself.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one. 1991, age 12. That was another had to do with relationships.
Okay.
Family or home had to do something mm-hmm. with home. And then 2004 at the age of 25.
Yeah.
And if I was reading for you the letter S, I see, I always recognize AJ or S because they're the number 1. And S sometimes brings in something very unexpected and sharp, but it's a precursor to something much better. It just happens very quickly. And this happened in 1992 at the age of 13. Don't tell you don't remember. I've got some in my chart and I'm like,
yeah, the
theory behind that is mm-hmm. Our soul said, we don't need it or we're not ready for it.
Oh.
That's the theory.
Okay.
Who's to say, right?
So interesting. Okay.
Okay. So remember, the middle 2 are 9 years each. And these a lot of work being done, right? You only have 9 years to accomplish this.
Right.
So the second pentacle started in 2008 at the age of 29, went to 2016 at the age of 37. It's a number 1 mm-hmm. followed by a 6. So you were like really gung ho. You were standing in your power. You were thinking outside of the box. You were could have been even starting a business, or one like that could start a business. But that 6 energy, that 6 is about relationships. So So, and that's a big word, right? That doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean lover or partner, but there was a challenge there with the sixth energy that was helping you to understand yourself because of the one pentacle better. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that time period definitely did that for me.
Yeah. It just catapulted you. Yeah. The 9 year, those two pentacles in the middle can be, because it's fast moving. You only have 9 years to get her done.
Yeah.
27. Oh, let's see. You had a soul changing year, 2014 at the age of 35.
Yes.
See, amazing, isn't it? You can't make this up.
No, I mean, yeah, 2014 was not one of my favorite years. It was actually probably one of my least favorite years living on this planet. But it was necessary.
Right. Yeah. Most definitely. And the thing it's interesting is it's in your chart. I can see.
Well, that's what's so crazy is when you told me that offline first, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So when it's written in your chart, your soul, I mean, it's saying it needs to experience this. It needs
right.
to go through that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it gave me clarification and validation, which is this, you know, when you're going through horrible times in your life and you're able to look back and go, oh, wow, that was in a chart of my life. Okay, I can forgive myself a little more.
Yes, I can forgive myself. That's huge. And that's what mm-hmm. numerology does. It allows you to accept who you are.
Right.
And what's happened, some of the experiences right. that have come about to make you who you are today.
Right.
All right. Let's go to 2017 to 2025.
Okay. Oh my gosh. We're to the present.
You're in the 9 year. Right.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. All right. So that I have a one pentacle and okay. you challenge yourself with the one.
Okay.
Yeah. So how I would read that is the second pentacle, that one, your soul says, I'm not going to really get it completely. I want to do it some more. I want to really stand on my own two feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
That one challenge is those roadblocks that bring in self-doubt, low self-esteem, confidence, low confidence, all those things that you're jumping over to make yourself that powerful woman that you're trying to get to be.
Oh my God. Okay.
Is that true? Is that
yes. Yeah. Right? Especially this last year. I've been building up to this last year, but, you know, especially there have been challenges where, you know, you question, did I do the right thing? Am I a good person? Self-doubt is just so... it's awful. It's so necessary, but it's so awful. It's just not, it's a battlefield, an internal battle. And, you know, the world doesn't get to witness it, but we all face it. And it's a tough one. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, after going through it for so long, you know, you think you get to a place where you're not having to battle yourself anymore. And when it's still there, I mean, now it makes sense. Like, the more you push the buttons, the stronger you have to get, right?
Right. Yeah.
But at the time, it doesn't feel like a luxury.
No. No. But we have to experience. That's what we're here for.
Right.
And like we said, the soul doesn't know good or bad. It just wants to experience.
Yeah. When you said that last time, I was really taken aback by that. There was a lot for me to go. There was a lot for my brain to explore with that comment, because we tend to, in life, judge ourselves based on good or bad. I reserve my judgment for myself, not other people. So, you know, when I was dealing with trauma and things like that triggered me, I would react in ways and I would judge myself based on how I reacted and really not have a level of compassion for myself that I have now. And while I was going through it, wasn't very fun. But to hear you say that the soul doesn't know good or bad would have been nice to know back then, because then I would have been able to forgive myself a lot more and be like, oh, okay, like yeah. This is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah. People will say to me, when do these challenges stop? Well, I'm almost 67 and they're still going on, but we yeah. have to do that. You know, we have to, that's how we grow. It's just the wisdom gets a little bit better and we let go of things that aren't so significant or we yeah. don't feel they are.
Yeah.
All right. So, your last pentacle.
Okay.
Starts in 2026. We'll go for the rest of your life. Is wow. that number six?
Okay.
And six is the healer. Selfless service to other people. Yeah. It's brilliant how this is set up. It's brilliant. I mean, I still go to school. I still take classes in the UK. We had a class last night and we were going mm-hmm. through this chart. And I was like, you just can't make this up. You can't, you can't challenge this because it's so validating.
Yeah.
You know, Juno Jordan, who was we call her the grandmother of the of numerology, and she passed away in the 80s. But she started as college, a university, I should say, to debunk it. They couldn't debunk it. They had physicists. They have all the psychologists. They had it. The five was always the five. It always wanted freedom, you know. So they have tried to debunk it. It's there.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. I do want to say, yes. And this is where I'm working with the transits and the essences.
Okay.
Okay. So I see at the age of 38, I see the letter S.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the mental plane. So it's like there was a lightning bolt that went off of what you needed to do, or somebody could have said something that triggered something. It can be.
What year was that?
It would have been in 2017. There was a lot going on that year.
Yeah, there was a lot going on that year. I think that was a time when I definitely realized I couldn't work for other people.
Yeah.
It was. I think you, I was. Yeah, go ahead.
The letter S is a 19, mm-hmm. 10, 1. Remember, I said it
all. The powerlessness.
There you go. So some, you were working through that.
I was definitely. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was definitely. Well, because I had come from working in entertainment where I had so much fun working with all these resources and creating and being creative and having this abundance of resources with which I could create from. And so I think there was a taking stock in what I liked from my past life and what worked and then what didn't. And the challenge for me then was, how do I take what I like and or what I loved and what fed me and fulfilled me and make it, how do I do that without the resources? And on my own.
And look at
and
you.
And there was a powerlessness to that because I'm not a huge broadcast company with all those resources.
But you have that one pentacle directing you, pushing you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that energy doesn't go away. You can't ignore it.
It's so annoying. It's like, hello, hello. It's like my dog. And I love my dog. I love him to pieces. But he like woke me up this morning and he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I'm like, just 10 more minutes. And he's like, no. It's going to happen now. And yeah. So very similar.
Yeah. All right. So now the other thing that I think is very important for people to know is the personal year energy.
Okay.
We work in 9-year cycles, right? Everything is mm-hmm. 9 years for Sue. And each year has its own theme. And if we know what that theme is, then we can lean into it and get the most out of it. all the month energies are undercurrents that are helping that energy that you're working through in that personal year.
Okay.
So if I use my garden as an analogy, the first year I plant the seed. The second year, I've got to be patient. I can't dig the seed up. The magic is happening. Okay. The third year is when it starts to manifest. Year of blueprint, drawing the blueprint. The fourth year is all about work, weeding, rototilling, getting all that, keeping it up to date. The fifth year, one through four, five sits in between one through four and six through nine. This mm-hmm. is the pivotal year. This is the year the universe wants you to make changes. Sometimes you do. Sometimes it helps you out. And it's a very fast moving year. And then the sixth year is I share everything with my family, my friends, my community. The seventh year is when I research and I try to figure out how I'm going to make that garden better. The eighth year, I reap what I sow. If I had put all the work in, then I'm going to get a lot of vegetables. If I walked away in the 5 year, I'd get some, but not what I could have. The 9 year, I have to rototill my garden. I've got to clean it up because I'm getting ready to go into that 1 year.
Okay.
This is what you're in. You're in that nine personal year. So there's a lot of endings that come. There's you're purging stuff. It wants you to purge what's no longer serving your greatest and highest good. This can be mental. This can be emotional baggage getting rid of. This can be physically at home, just chucking things and throwing things away.
I did do that with my closet recently.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no.
Lower it's energy.
What does that mean?
You know, sometimes when you just got a year and you feel so good and you push and everything's moving, and then you have years that things aren't going as fast as you want. They're a little bit lower energy. It's
not that's the year.
Yes.
Okay. I'm so glad you said that because I love the work that I get to do, but it's hard. It's been harder to do it this year a little bit because I'm trying to approach it differently, trying to come to the table without the baggage and the trauma of my past, with the joy of the present. And, you know, anyone who's suffered from PTSD as I have, unfortunately, even though you're physically in a different location, and you're not, your past is not your present, your cells don't always remember that. And so it's been a very big challenge for me to come to a place where I can be like, I'm in the present. I don't have a horrible boss that I'm working for or with. I have all these wonderful people I get to work with who fulfill me and help me bring my ideas to fruition. I have this amazing group of friends that I've never had before, this support system I took for granted in the past, my family. And it's just very hard. I keep hearing that phrase, old habits die hard, because it's a lot of it's unconscious. And so I have to make it conscious and I have to consciously be like, there's, you know, stop white knuckling it, because when you're so used to white knuckling it, it gets hard to relax.
Right.
That's something just so simple. Mode. Yeah. I was in survival mode for so long. I forgot how to just enjoy life. And I was talking to Sue about this before we came on to record, and just saying, I just got back from holiday and I'm such a workaholic by nature and I love it. But after going on vacation, it's like you realize how much you need it and how much it's good for you. And it's been a slow build back into this, what I love. But again, it's very validating to hear that the energy is also not as light. So
no, the nine energy has a tendency to swing the past around.
Yes, it does.
We can look it in the eye because it wants us to say, I don't need you anymore. I'm letting you go. I'm going to be starting my 1 year cycle. I mean, my 9 year cycle in 2026. I want to go in a fresh start. And this is what it's helping you do.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. I definitely feel that.
Isn't that cool?
It's beyond cool. It's exactly why I have you as a returning guest, because I just think this is just so fascinating. And I really feel like numerology and the understanding of how our numbers can help us better understand our lives is just such a powerful tool for people to know about.
It's so validating, you know, because yeah. A lot of times our energy is yin and yang. You know, I just read for somebody not long ago, she had a 3 life path that made her very playful, witty, loved to talk.
How fun.
And then her expression number is the 4. That's the serious number, the grounded, focused, disciplined. So I got to explain that those 2 sides are really you. It's okay when one day you just want to go have fun and the next day you're focused and getting the work done.
That sounds like a healthy, balanced person to me.
It is. No, it is. When you have a chart, you want a chart that has multiple numbers in it. You don't want a chart that has a lot of like 7s or whatever.
Right.
That makes it unbalanced.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
And that itself is a challenge.
So what does that mean if that happens? You know, how can I help somebody with all that? I have a friend who has 3 7s, life path, expression, heart's desire.
So they always want to dive deeper.
She's a student of life. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't stop. And this literally, she's either in college or she's doing something on her own or she's always, always studying. Is that a bad thing?
I wouldn't say.
Not for
her. If it fulfills her and makes her happy.
That's who she is. But how many times have people said, you got it? Because she's older. I mean, she's 50 something. And people say you shouldn't be, you know, you got to stop going to school or make her feel bad for, but that's who she is.
Yeah. And I'll use a phrase that I learned in therapy. You shouldn't shit all over somebody.
Yes. That's very good.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, I've had I love that. You shouldn't shit all over Betty. Yeah.
It's just like relationships, right? If you know what your partner's energy is, it's amazing how that changes, shifts things for you. Because then you accept them for who they are.
Absolutely.
And once you know who they are, then and you know who you are and where the little discrepancies might come in, then it just changes relationships so deeply. And that's with not just lovers, but that's with children. I read for moms and dads who want to know more about their kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a very good. I've read for autistic children, which is really cool.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
Yes, it is. So it could be, you know, just your best friend. It could be your coworker. But if you know, well, this person does really good sitting in a cubicle while this person needs to be out on the road, you're going to get more work from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think it's very much about that acceptance of ourselves and that acceptance of the people that we have in our lives. Like, this is who they are. So either you are going to choose to put yourself in that situation where you're with them, or you'll choose to remove yourself. But asking people to change who they are is just not reasonable.
No, you can only change yourself.
Right.
But if you know what that other person is, what their core energy is and what makes them happy, it just makes it so different.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely does. Which brings us to our next podcast, where Sue's going to be reading for one of my friends, who's also a fellow, her life path is an 8. So when this friend and I were hanging out, I brought up numerology and I calculated it, you know, just quick. I'm not an expert like Sue at all, but Sue got the same numbers as I did as the life path. The other numbers I didn't calculate or know. But anyways, so it was very funny and entertaining when we were both discovering that our life paths were both eights. Mm-hmm. And then we, all the conversations we had had about our work experiences and our desires to be in business and things like that, it was just very interesting and it was validating.
Yeah. Both of you like to specialize in something, mm-hmm. because they're made up of the 17, 8. Mm-hmm. When you look at the 1 and the 8, very strong women, both are very strong, but mm-hmm. You think deeper.
Yeah, which explains why we get along really well, because we both can't do surface conversations.
No. I'm excited to read for your friend. You can see why you like each other so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy that's very familiar, very to each other, to both of you, but mm-hmm. in different positions.
Yeah, we complement each other. And I think that's what makes it so, our friendship so beautiful, is that the areas I lack, she complements, and vice versa. And it's just the way relationships, I think, should be. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for clones. God forbid.
No. Well, you know, that's one thing about it. I am, in numerology, I will never read the same chart.
Isn't that insane? It's so cool.
I'll see patterns. That's what mm-hmm. we're always looking for. That's how we learn, through the patterns. But there will always be numbers off to the side or something that switches it up. Just, none of us are the same. So we can't judge. How can we judge?
Right.
And we are all different.
Yeah. We've never walked a mile in anyone else's shoes. And to begin to think that we have is just foolish.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Super silly. Well, is there anything else that you want to add before we get into this podcast question? We can definitely have Healing Numbers 22 Sue back on. So just let me know. And we can do another podcast where we get into something a little bit deeper if anyone's interested. But we just kind of wanted to give a numerology 101 and then follow up with all these wonderful things and let people know that it's beyond your life path expression number and your soul's urge. There's so much more to a chart, and there's months and years and growth and things that your soul decided to do before you incarnated here.
Correct. This is all.
Wouldn't it be cool to learn it?
I always said that when I transition, the first place I'm going to is the logistics department, because I don't know how they figured this out.
I know. I want to see the whiteboard. I know. I want to see the whiteboard with all the this is where these people interconnect, and this is how this came to this. Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay. So the podcast question I want to end with today, before we get into part three, which will be our next podcast that we film, is Sue sent this really interesting newsletter in June that talked about how the first letter in our name can tell us a lot about ourselves. And this was something that I think I forgot after having done a session with her. And I just love how much we can learn about ourselves just by looking and studying our numbers. Is there something that numerology has taught you, Sue, that you didn't expect to learn or that surprised you? You briefly mentioned that you had your first reading and how accurate it was, but by switching roles and becoming the reader as opposed to the one having their chart read, did you learn something else that you would like to share with the audience? What wisdom does the numerologist Yoda want to leave us with?
I think that what I learned was I accept myself for who I am. I no longer fight it. I'm no longer angry at the things that happened in my past, because I have karmic numbers. I've come here to work through some big lessons. And just knowing that makes me accept who I am. And I just think it's a freedom. To have that. Yeah. And I hope everybody gets a reading, because you won't be sad that you got one. It will be eye opening.
Yeah. I love that. You almost made me cry. Well, for anyone who's interested in a reading, Healing Numbers 22, go to that website, and that's how you can reach Sue and schedule your numerologist reading with her. And don't miss part 3, where we do a reading with one of my friends who has so bravely volunteered to have her numbers read. And we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.